Judges chapter 8, verses 4 to 9, and 13 to 17. I want to deal in this discourse with Gideon at Succoth and Peniel. Now, in the first three verses, as we saw in the previous discourse, Gideon had been criticized by the Ephraimites, and their jealousy and so on had come to the surface. Even, by the way, verse 4, well, Gideon and his 300 men were exhausted, and yet still keeping up, pursuing the Midianites, crossing the Jordan and so on, even as they were engaged in that, the Ephraimites were criticizing Gideon. Now, we saw in the previous discourse that he gave them a soft answer, a diplomatic answer, and turned away wrath. And there was a commendable point there. But we could go away with the wrong impression about Gideon. We could think he's as soft as an old shoe. People can do what they want with him. He's a man of tact and diplomacy. He put himself out, even though he's chasing Midian, and he's weary, exhausted, hungry, and all the rest of it. Nevertheless, he is a kind and forgiving man. And we could think of him just as soft as an old shoe, but that's quite wrong. He goes on with his chase after these Midianites, particularly the kings, the leaders, the governors of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna. And he crosses the Jordan, Gideon, and he reaches Succoth, and he wants bread. He's been chasing. The 300 men he's got are chasing after these Midianites, and they're hungry, they're exhausted. Please give me some bread. Have you got any bread in your possession? Can you give me something? We're tired out. We're worn out. But the officials of Succoth said, Yeah, well, you come back when you've got Zeba and Zalmunna. They dismissed him. They mock him. They scorn him. They taunt him. They despise him. They jeer at him. They find fault with him. And what has he done? Well, he's chasing these kings, but he hasn't got them yet. Should we give bread to your troops? Should we help you? Go and get them first. Then Gideon replied, verse 7, just for that, when the Lord has given Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, I will tear your flesh with desert thorns and briars. Now, we're in the days of the old covenant, and eye for eye and tooth for tooth and the rest of it. This man is saying, I'm not going to stop now. I'm not going to be diverted from my priority here. I want to capture the Midianites. This is my business. I've got to put these leaders to death. I've got to sort this out. I've got to win this war. You won't give me bread? We're still going on. We're not going to be diverted. But I will come back and deal with you. And he went on chasing. Verse 8, he reached Peniel. And he asked them for bread. He's still hungry. His men are tired out. But they still follow him with him. But the men of Peniel did as the men of Succoth. You capture them first. Taunting, mocking, jeering, laughing. Gideon's wasting time here. He's losing energy. He needs food. He's hungry. He hasn't got time for all this to face these difficulties. But he won't let Midian go. He's not going to take personal vengeance and revenge here. He's not going to take it into his own hands. He is not going to be rash or revengeful here. His priorities are clear. I must deal with Midian. And so he went and he dealt with Midian. But I'll leave that until another discourse. Let me come back to verse 13 to verse 17. Having dealt with Zeba and Zalmunna, he then comes back to Succoth and Peniel, and he says, now you taunted me, and you wouldn't give me bread, and you laughed at me, and you mocked me. And so what did he do? He took steps to find out about the leaders, the 77 officials of Succoth, the elders of the town, and he found out about the men of Peniel, and he pulled down the tower of Peniel, and he dealt with these leaders, and he showed them that he was not a man that could be pushed to one side and laughed at. He punished them, as he said, with desert thorns and briars, and he destroyed their tower. So he is a man of diplomacy. He is a man of tact. He knows how to use a soft answer to turn away wrath. Excellent. But when the time is right, he doesn't take personal vengeance. He meets justice. He keeps his word. He gets his priorities right. Midian has to be dealt with, and he deals with Midian first. But having done that, he keeps his word, and he comes back to Succoth and Peniel. Now, these are simple lessons. They're old covenant lessons. We're not engaged in war and briars and desert thorns and towers and fighting kings and crossing Jordans. No, no. But I'm engaged in a spiritual battle, and so are you, my brother and sister in Christ. We're fighting spiritual forces, wickedness in high places, satanic influence and power, error, false doctrine, false religion. Yes, we're fighting so much. We're fighting for the Lord. We're on the Lord's side, aren't we? The weapons of our warfare in the New Covenant, though, are spiritual, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and bringing into captivity every thought to Christ. But here it is. There are two lessons put together here. In the previous discourse, it was soft answer, turning away wrath. There is a place for it. But there is also a place for standing for what is right and administering the right justice. Here it is. You see, there's a lesson here. There's a challenge. Are you one of the men of Peniel and Succoth, standing on the touchlines, you know, on the sideline there, jeering, mocking, seeing what's wrong, putting it all right, criticizing what others are doing, not helping? Or are you with the 300, chasing, exhausted, trying still to stand for Christ, weary, worn, broken down, but you're still going on? Let's get our priorities right, brothers and sisters. May it not be personal, but may we stand for Christ. Paul was very strong with the Corinthians. He wasn't punishing with his words for the sake of his own name or reputation. Let his name perish, but it was the name of Christ that he wanted to see exalted. And there is a place for standing truly for God and standing against error, and standing against this kind of jeering, mocking, despising view. I want to learn not to be a man of Succoth, not to be a man of Peniel. I want to be one of the 300, exhausted, weary, tired, hungry, but still pursuing. Gideon's got his right priorities here. May God bless these thoughts to us, brothers and sisters. I don't know how it applies to you today. I don't know in what straits or circumstances you are. But maybe there is a word from the Lord here for you and for me. May I heed it. May I get my priorities right. May I pursue the right course. But may I not allow the name of Christ to be trodden down. May it be that I do all, whether by soft answer on one hand or by firm discipline on the other, making sure that I'm working with the weapons of the new covenant, not the old, but may I stand for Christ in this fuzzy world, in this enmity. The world is at enmity, but the church is so fuzzy and so sentimental and so worldly. May I stand and be firm. May I learn from Gideon here. I hope you feel the same. May God bless these few thoughts on this passage in Judges chapter 8.